Going Linux, episode 290, listener feedback. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill. Whether you're new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, our email is goinglinux@gmail.com and our voicemail is 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, listener feedback.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, Bill, how are you this time around?
Good, good. We are in the holiday times.
Yes, we are.
I was just looking at my calendar for things that are coming up, and I've got like three parties and you know, get-togethers, and it's like, oh, wow, how am I going to do all this?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so we've also had some technical issues. Time Warner, my cable provider, broke my internet last week, so we couldn't record. And yeah. You had some issues this week.
Just before recording, as a matter of fact, we had a bit of a scare. We were down. Basically down. Reset the router from Time Warner, of course, and everything's back up and running. I actually had to restart my computer. We both restarted our computers just to be safe, but I think it was really mine.
Well, you know, it's, what can we say? Things happen.
Yeah, yeah. There was probably a way to figure out exactly what was causing the problem, do the diagnostic, fix that individual item, and then we'd have been back up and running, but it's just easier to restart the computer.
Yeah, isn't that the case on everything? It's yes. Like, it's not working. Let's restart the computer. That's like computer repair 101. Yep, it's not working. Restart
Step
the computer.
Step one, is it plugged in? Step two, is it turned on? Step three, have you restarted it?
Yes. Step four, check for loose connections.
Yep.
But with that, let's go to our first contribution, and it's from Jack. And he wrote, he had just listened to our podcast, 289. And he said, you mentioned that Citrix GoToWebinar did not work on the Chrome browser. I would refer you to the system requirements page of GoToWebinar, where Chrome version 39 or later is supported. I can confirm that it worked on my machine last month. I was using Mint Mate 17.2 at the time with Chrome 46. I believe I use 47 whatever now, with the exception of some Microsoft specific programs, CRM for one. I get no satisfaction, but everything else that I want to do is done on Mint Mate. I have just upgraded to 17.3, which includes LibreOffice 5. And he wrote, I love your podcast, but they seem to be getting shorter and shorter. Keep up the good work, though. There must be some topics that you could do updates on, LOL. And he writes, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, our shows get shorter sometimes because we're kind of crunched for time. And also, we don't get as many emails and voicemails during this time of year. It always happens because people are busy.
Yep.
So we're not making shows shorter. We're just working with what content we have. And as this holidays get done and people get back into the routines, then we get a lot more emails and voicemails. So it happens every year. So we just kind of work with it and go from there.
Yeah. And our feedback episodes have been a little short because the content's been short. We've had the series on the Linux Advantage, and those are some nuggets of brief content, and we're not about to stretch things out just to fill the time. If we have 15 minutes of content, you'll get a 15-minute show. If we have an hour's worth of content, you'll get an hour show. That's kind of the way we run things here. And we, as we move into the new year, as you said, Bill, we'll end up with some longer episodes because we'll have more content, especially in the listener feedback episodes where we have more email. And in fact, today we don't have any email. So we're taking our contributions from our Google Plus community. So if you're on the community and you read through all of the comments religiously, you'll recognize every single one of these posts. but if you just kind of pick and choose and you read the stuff that's most interesting to you and you skip a few things, maybe you'll find a few posts here that you missed. And you certainly haven't heard our comments on them, so there'll be some new stuff here for you either way. Yeah, thanks, Jack, for the tip on Chrome. I am not sure what's going on there, why it would work for you and not for me, but that's kind of the nature of computing, right? So I'll keep trying, and maybe there's a setting. I am on the latest version of Chrome. I think it's 47 right now. And it seems to work fine. And on my work computer, my Macintosh, I'm using Chrome 47, and it seems to work there sporadically. So we'll see. I have to switch to Firefox even there. So maybe it is a Chrome setting that I can adjust. Don't know. It seems to be a Chrome thing, and we'll take a look at it and see. As far as the Microsoft CRM, I think you're probably talking about Microsoft Dynamics. I'm not sure why that wouldn't work in Chrome or on Mint Mate at all, whether that's Chrome or whether it's another browser. It's as far as I know, a web-based application, and it should work on every browser. But again, that's kind of the nature of the internet. I know Salesforce works fine on all the browsers except the really oldest ones, and you can't really expect any software that's browser-based to work on Internet Explorer 6 these days much.
No, browser's been discontinued for, what, 2 or 3 years now?
Yeah, and even the ones between it and whatever they're on now. I know it's not Internet Explorer anymore on Windows 10. It's some other thing that starts with an E.
It's Edge.
Edge. There you go. Internet Explorer by any other name. But
it actually works pretty well, I have to admit. Okay. But anyway, you're going to have inconsistencies with older browsers.
Yes, absolutely, regardless of what you're doing. And unfortunately, they keep the old browsers around because some companies still have old software that only works on the old browsers. But as time goes on, those things get less and less secure. And as a result, you know, there's a lot of reason to move off those old browsers. So don't keep them hanging around. Get a modern operating system. Get Linux, get Firefox or Chrome or whatever you want to put on Linux, and away you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our next post is from Bill, who says, "Hello, Larry and Bill. After listening to your recent podcast with feedback from your listener from Uzbekistan, I can relate to his issue. I travel in Asia extensively. Your podcast is also blocked in China. You are lumped in with other dangerous internet services like Facebook, Twitter, and most Google services. I get around this by using the VPN provider Private Internet Access, PIA, a sponsor company for Linux Mint. They have clients for Linux desktops and Android devices. With them, I can use the whole internet from China. The cost is about $30 per year for multiple devices in one account. One problem is that you have to set up services from outside of China. Thank you for providing great information to all Linux users."
We are a dangerous internet service?
Yeah,
all right.
Apparently
I
so.
Love it.
Yeah, we're getting a reputation as being, you know, rebels.
All right. Oh, I can't. Man, that's great. I cannot believe I'm blocked in China. That's awesome. Okay, maybe not awesome. I like our people in China to listen to our podcast too, but it's so funny. I mean, listen to us. I mean, the most controversial thing we talk about is my dog stealing my hamburgers.
Well, that might be subversive there, Bill. You gotta watch out for that stuff.
Our next post comes from Matt. He writes, "I wanted to respond that the latest episode of listener feedback to the expat in Uzbekistan. For $5 a month, you can also have a rock-solid proxy server located in the good old U.S. of A, or rather, Western country. spin up an Ubuntu droplet at DigitalOcean, and it uses as a SOC 5 proxy. All the traffic will be encrypted to the server and then will appear to head out to the internet from there. Unless the government of Uzbekistan has blocked SSH traffic out of the country, you should be golden. Also, you can access Netflix. Just saying, cheers and happy holidays, Matt.
Okay, there you go. Okay. Another solution. That's good. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, George also posts, this seems to go nowhere, with a question mark. Since updating to 17.3, Update Manager always asks if I want to use a, quote, local mirror. Clicking OK brings up software sources with nothing obvious to change or no obvious change to make in main that points to packages.linuxmint.com. Three question marks. Okay. So, and in the post, he actually provides a screenshot of the update manager in the latest Linux Mint, and it's got the little blue bar with an OK button that says, do you wish to switch to a local mirror? Local mirrors are usually faster than packages.linuxmint.com. And through various comments, there are four comments on the post, George also says, in response to a comment from Rick, he says, thanks, shows how UI expectations can color experience. I had incorrectly presumed there would be an error or something to mark the pull-up list. Well, basically, George, there are two things that look like they might be pull-up or pull-down lists. They're not. They're intended to be buttons on the user interface, I guess. And it's a button that has as its label the current repository or current mirror that the update manager is pointed at. And you click on that as though it were a button, and it brings up a list of mirrors for the repositories. And on the right-hand side, as the list comes up, it gives you the time it takes to actually access that. And the fastest one will be at the top. And typically, you just click on the button, let it run for a little bit until it stabilizes, pick the top one, and you're done. You're on the fastest mirror. Repeat that with both the main and the base mirrors, and that's it. I went through that, and it works just dandy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Our next post comes from Ken L. He writes, I use LibreOffice to draw my lab schedules ever since Microsoft, and he put a dollar sign there, removed the form templates from Visio. Now I can completely use LibreOffice Draw to replace Visio in DIA, which I never could get used to. By adding network templates, see this website, and he lists the website.
We'll have all that in the show notes.
Yeah, so he says, and last he writes, I am one freaking happy camper.
Yeah, absolutely. The extensions are just fantastic for LibreOffice. I know before LibreOffice, I was using OpenOffice, and the extensions were just lifesavers in many cases because they just have so much good stuff that you can add on to the basic LibreOffice, in this case, package. And Ken, glad to see that you're taking advantage of them as well. And thanks for the suggestion for the rest of our listeners. Okay, Ken L. continues with another post. He says, okay, story time. I had Ubuntu Mate at home, and my videos would get a glitch occasionally in playing. Didn't matter if it was YouTube, Netflix, etc. So I had an NVIDIA GTX 580 laying around, older card, but still decent, installed, which also required me to move one of the hard drives. The Nouveau driver didn't help, and the proprietary driver acted the same. Since this is a dual boot with Windows, I installed the NVIDIA Windows driver, and it worked perfectly, of course. I've been running Ubuntu Mate for a while, but have had little annoyances here and there. Since I've been running Linux Mint 17.2 at work, decided it was time to do the same at home. Well, the Nouveau driver would crash the desktop environment, but I was able to keep the system up long enough to install a proprietary driver, and all is well. Videos play much better, and no screen glitches. Different kernel, maybe? I don't know what would cause the differences between Ubuntu Mate and Mint 17.2. They're very, very similar. They just, it's possible that the difference in the kernel might have had an influence on the drivers. I wouldn't think so, but any ideas or thoughts?
No, I have in my laptop, I have a GTX 660M and it works perfectly. I don't know what would be different. Maybe it's just, different hardware. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. Comment from Richard says, it's these sorts of annoyances that mean I keep jumping back to Windows. Yeah, I get that. Brad says, Linux installations are full of wonder. Yeah, we wonder why it isn't working. yeah, lots of comments on this one and some lengthy ones as well.
But NVIDIA seems to be one of the better supported cards in Linux, so.
Yeah, it is, but it's not without its troubles, that's for sure.
Yeah,
certainly, as with most other things Linux, if you can stick with Intel, you're pretty much guaranteed everything works. It may not be the fanciest video driver out there, but they certainly do good, solid work, and it's certainly well-supported on Linux for sure. NVIDIA should be supported, but as you see here, sometimes you've got to do some tweaks to get it working.
Okay, our next post comes from Ken B. We've got a lot of Kens.
We do.
He says, my world of computing and what I like about Chromebooks. I love my Chromebook for the following reasons. One, the instant on. And being able to close it to take a break and open it right back up and start where I left off. 2, long battery life. 3, keyboard, touchpad, and lightweight. It's only 3 pounds, so it's very portable. Price, almost disposable. 6, I use Chrome on all my devices, Android phone, Chromebook, laptop, desktop. I can completely interconnect email, bookmarks, and Drive, etc. I am writing this on my Acer 13-inch Chromebook. I very much dislike laptops for anything, though I have an Acer 15 laptop with Linux Mint Cinnamon. It's too heavy, not much battery life, and it's hot running even with an SSD. I don't like tablets for the way that I use the Chromebook. I prefer a real keyboard. Also, the 13-inch is the smallest screen that I would want to use on anything but a phone. Then I would never use a laptop or Chromebook for what I call serious computing, like CAD, photos, etc. There I have a desktop with Win 7 with dual 24-inch monitors. Oh, that's nice. Though I hate Windows, I still have too many required software products that are only available on Windows or yuck Mac. Oh, by the way, I love Linux, and besides the laptop that I have, a nice desktop and dual monitors and Linux Mint Cinnamon, but so far haven't been able to use it as much as I would like. I probably use my Chromebook more than half of my computing time, email research stuff on the internet, ordering stuff, directing movies and videos to my Chromecast on my big TV, etc. I love being able to sit in my easy chair doing these things, almost never at a desk or table. Did I mention that I like my Chromebook and don't care for laptops? And yet, smile, everyone to their own liking. Ken. I think he liked his Chromebook.
I think maybe.
But he also includes a PS.
All right.
He says, I had a Toshiba Chromebook too that developed vertical lines on the screen due to poor construction and the screen contacts became unconnected. Didn't get any help out of Toshiba. Acer's much more substantial.
Yeah, I've heard that about the Toshiba Chromebooks as well, and the poor construction there. And maybe it's just Ken's comments that I was reading on the Toshiba site, but whatever.
But I do have to laugh at him. I carry a 11-pound laptop with me. So I got that big monster Asus. But yeah, I can imagine. I'm so used to carrying such a heavy laptop. I don't know if I could get used to carrying something so light.
Yeah, well, they are definitely light, and the battery life is phenomenal on those things. I have an original Samsung Chromebook. I think the model, although it's not stamped on it anywhere, I think it's 303 or something like that. It's three something. And the battery on there just lasts and lasts and lasts. It'll last all day long, almost all day long continuous usage. And on my System 76 Galago Pro, my initial battery that I got with it a couple of years ago, I ran it, unfortunately, almost always plugged in, and so the battery life just kind of died on it, even though it was lithium ion. It still wasn't holding a charge, so I ordered a new battery. It took probably a couple of weeks to get here from China, but I got it, and plugged it in, and now I'm getting back to my old battery life on the Galago Pro. By the way, the Galago Pro is no longer provided by System 76. They've discontinued that and replaced it with some more updated models with processors that use less power, and so the battery lives are better. But one of the things I noticed is that on the website, when I went to order this, they would not specify what the battery life was.
Oh.
They said it was, quote, long battery life, but they didn't say what long was.
What do you get?
What I found was if I reduced the screen brightness, which is the biggest consumer of power on a laptop, to 30%, it was still quite visible. You know, you can you can view it in almost any light, unless I took it outside, and you know, then I'd have to up the screen brightness. But for indoor use, 30% is fine. I can get almost 3 hours. The Galago Pro has been sold as a 14-inch ultrabook, long battery life, and to me, yeah, 3 hours is probably something you could claim as long battery life. But if I actually crank the brightness up to 100%, it's really bright, but the battery life is under an hour.
Okay, so let's see. My Republic of Gamers Asus, I am still getting about 3.5 hours unplugged.
Yeah.
But that's with everything, the brightness, everything at 100%. I don't turn anything down, Wi-Fi, etc. I don't know if it goes into a low power state, whatever, when it's not plugged in. But if you really think about it, 3.5 hours is not a lot of work time unplugged.
Right, exactly. That's my point.
This thing has a massive battery. I mean, it's not a little tiny battery. I mean, it's, you take the battery, it's probably about 3 pounds. It's huge. So to run this massive laptop, but I'm just thinking, you know, 3.5 hours, you can't do too much without being able to plug it in. So yeah, I can see where a Chromebook would be nice because you can run it all day. But, I don't know. It doesn't do enough for me.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's not something that I would use to produce the podcast for sure, but sitting in the living room and watching Netflix or whatever, it's a pretty good machine for doing that. And the fact that you can, you know, broadcast it if you've got a Chromecast to your television is pretty useful as well. And of course, that works from any Linux computer running the Chrome browser. You can broadcast to Chromecast without any problem at all. So you don't have to have a Chromebook to do that, that's for sure.
Well, Chromebooks work for some people. They just don't work for me, but I'm glad he likes it.
Yeah, absolutely. They're great machines, and of course, they're based on Linux, so we have no problem talking about them. Yeah. So that's it for our feedback for this time around. We start a new year with our next episode. Looking forward to that, Bill.
Yes, I am. We're going to talk about everything that happened this past year and what we expect for the new year. I can't wait.
There we go.
Until then, go to our website at goinglinks.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe.
We are the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
If you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux Podcast Google Plus community.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.